When I took this photo, the forecast in the morning said it was going to rain, and I brought my camera to work thinking that there was a specific type of photo that I wanted to get, which was a photo of someone unprepared in the rain. I figured working on a college campus, the chances of getting a photo of someone walking around without rain gear on were pretty likely. And to add to that, though, I wanted to get a little twist on it, which was a panning shot, which is what when you've got your subject is frozen, but everything else is blurry and it creates a sense of motion. So that was my goal for when I walked out of my building over lunch hour and had my camera in hand and wanted to take this specific type of photo. Now, I couldn't control much. I couldn't control the weather. I couldn't control the cars or the foot traffic or whatever, but I could control my camera. And that's sort of the one saving grace here is that there was one element that I could control, which was the knobs and buttons on my camera and the exposure and all that. And so given the limitations of what I was working with, I set out, I took a few minutes over my lunch break to go outside and see what I could do. Because it was raining and the weather sealing on my D200 is not exactly what it used to be, I didn't want to get my camera super wet, so I stood inside a bus stop and just sort of watched people going past. And this also, incidentally, is helping me get over my fear of street photography, which I've mentioned before on this podcast. I set my camera to manual and continuous high speed. When you're trying to shoot a panning shot, you can't just shoot it once and hope for the best. You really got to take multiple photos because the chances of one of them turning out are not good if it's just one in isolation. But if you take many photos, chances are at least one will turn out. Given the weather conditions, the overcast skies, I ended up with a shutter of 1/15 of a second, ISO 100 at f/13. And when you're taking panning shots, it's a good idea to not blow your aperture out too big because otherwise you let in too much light, and so you have to ramp up your shutter speed, make it faster, which you don't want to do when you're panning. But also, you don't get the blur, the details in the background blur of what's behind your subject. If your aperture is too wide, you get a shallower depth of field, and in this case, you wouldn't be able to tell what's behind the biker. It would just look like a big old blur. So for this photo, I watched people going past for probably a good 10 minutes, and I snapped a lot of pictures. No one seemed to notice me, incidentally, and no one really seemed to care that there was this guy taking photos, which I think is common. I don't think people really care too much about street photography. It's just my own thing I got to deal with. I have to get over this own internal mental block when it comes to street photography. There was a few pedestrians. There was two bikers. There was a skateboarder, and there was a lot of traffic, too. So there's a lot of things going on. But I discovered it was very tricky to get the shot I was looking for. I had something in mind, but I couldn't just go out and construct it manually. I couldn't go up and say to a pedestrian, okay, why don't you walk across here at this point, and then this car, okay, stop because we're taking this photo. I just had to work with what I was given. And it was a little frustrating, but it was kind of fun too. There were several shots that got away. There was one lady who was walking past, like holding a newspaper over her head, and I thought, man, that would be awesome to get that image. But she was on the other side of me, and I would have had to run out in the rain, and it didn't work. And so there were several instances like that where I thought that would be the perfect shot, and it didn't work out. There was also a lot of waiting, and that's just what you do. And I'm no wildlife photographer, but wildlife photographers, like actual ones, have to sit and wait and wait and wait. This is only a couple minutes, so I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, like, I'm telling about the photo, telling how I took it. About this particular shot, though, now that I've set up the background a little bit. So I saw this biker going biking from left to right across the frame here, and I just jammed on that shutter, and I was on continuous high speed, which on the D200 I think takes 4 shots a second. It's not that high speed, actually. I got a few decent ones, and then this car shows up, and it was super frustrating, this car that's turning out here in the foreground. And I thought, man, if only that car was not there, that would be such a good photo. And I'm looking at my screen a little bit afterwards and kind of I thought, this picture is worthless. I can't use this. And I kept on going. I took some more shots. And ultimately, I left kind of feeling like I left something on the table. Like there was more shots I could have got. But I can't take all day. It's just a few minutes over lunch break. Later on, I brought things back to my computer, and I actually liked what I saw in this particular photo. I was totally surprised that this photo was the one that I I ended up keeping. And there was a couple reasons for that. First of all, the biker is the focal point. You look at this and immediately you're drawn to the biker, the blue color of the bike. And then you notice she's got a hat. She doesn't exactly have a raincoat on. And I doubt that her satchel or whatever it is behind her is waterproof. So my guess is she was unprepared in the rain. But the you get this blue color of the bike, which contrasts nicely with the gray and dull orange of the surroundings. You got the ground, which is wet, and I think that adds a nice little texture to the photo, a nice little sense of weather and context, that it's not just a bright sunny day. There's a reason that this biker is biking fast, and there's more going on than just a biker, because it's raining. And so why would you be biking like this in the rain? So it adds a nice visual element, but also a perceptive element too, where you're thinking a little more about what's going on in the photo. And it kind of reminds me of when I've been in this situation too. And hopefully that it does that for the viewer as well, where it reminds you of a time when you've been caught in the rain in a bike. And the car on the right, I thought, and I didn't notice this originally, but in looking at it afterwards, I think it's actually an interesting foreground element. And this is something I need to explore more. I don't use foreground elements to frame my shots. But after looking at this, I think I got to try it more often, where I put something between my camera and the subject, and then obviously more things behind the subject. I think it adds this nice spatial element. It shows that there's more going on than just a biker. We've got this commuter or this driver, whatever. It's someone in a car who's getting out of there too. So maybe they're hurrying home because it's rainy. I don't know. But there's more going on than just the biker. And I looked at some of the other photos where I had just the biker. I didn't like him as much. I actually prefer it that this car is almost it overlaps the wheel of the bike because it creates this more dynamic element in the photo. I think overall it creates this better sense of motion. So you've got the motion of the biker going past, which is that happens in any panning shot where your subject is moving. But then you've also got this second element of motion, which is this car leaving. And to me, it adds a kinetic element to the photo that would have been missing otherwise. And so I was surprised when I looked at this photo afterwards in the computer, and turns out I really liked it. I guess if there's a lesson to be learned here, it's first of all, know your camera well enough so that you can go out and get the shot you want. If I didn't know my camera, I would have gone outside, but I would never have been able to get this shot. And that means learning how to work not in auto mode, but learning how to work in manual or aperture or shutter priority, but learning your camera well enough to make it do what you want to get the shot in mind. Also, perspective. I took this photo. I was crouching down. I think it was almost sitting down cross-legged on the ground. Standing up would have taken the viewer out of the photo and made you more, you the viewer, more of an observer than really a participant in what's happening. And that act of altering your perspective, of simply standing up or sitting down when you might normally be standing up, that can add a really profound element to your photos. And I would encourage you to try that more often, to just change your perspective. Finally, this it's like the Forrest Gump lesson, is that photography is like a box of chocolates. Sometimes you never know what you're going to get.